Welcome to the Sunday Morning Meeting Podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Gemma Abel.
Good morning.
Morning.
Morning, guys. It's always good when we've just had a weekend and then I get to stand here because I get a whole little group of encouragers that come and sit at the front with me and help me through this moment. So, praise God, we've had an awesome weekend. I want to give you a glimpse, actually, of the kind of things we've been doing. We turned up at Lamplugh at 7 o'clock on Friday night, and we began to meet with Jesus. And we finished at midnight. And it wasn't just pure worship. We had some teaching, we had some discussions, we had some prayer, we had more worship. You know, there was lots going on, but God kept us going all night. And again, yesterday, we started at 10:30 yesterday morning, we finished at 10 o'clock at night. We stopped for lunch, we stopped for dinner, but that was it. There was no breaks in between. You know, God's been bringing an intensity to us that has been different. An intensity that has been waking us up, and we've had to be listening. And this morning, I want to share with you guys, actually, since God's brought this word of awakening, what he's been doing with us. As a group of students and young people, we meet together on a Monday night as well. And we have some worship, we have some teaching, we have some prayer. So we get kind of like double church. So we're very, very blessed. But it means that actually when God speaks a big word like awakening, and you know, it's a message for the church to grab hold on. Actually, we've got that time and we've got that time to get together as a group and to come into fellowship together and actually examine things and go into things deeper and really get hold of these revelations. Yeah. And I believe what we were singing, you know, the reason I wanted them to play that song is because as a group of people under 30, we are a generation that God is awakening to lead. I've always said for the student ministry that we have here at Kingdom Faith, I've always had the scripture from the day I came that we will be that example in love, in life, in speech, in purity. We are an example to the church and to the non-church. And that's what I want our young people to be, an example. So that is why we meet together on a Monday. We also do stuff on a Tuesday night together. We do stuff on a Wednesday night together, Thursday night, Friday. We do stuff all the time together, which is why they're so, you know, they're great friends and they can uphold each other constantly. When things come along, we can pray for each other and we can trust each other that we're praying for each other, that we're upholding each other, that we're comforting each other, that we're supporting one another because we meet together so much. I'm sorry, I can't see anybody. It's probably a good thing. Okay, so for about 4 weeks we've been going through this awakening thing. So I want to start and give you a little highlight of what we've been doing basically for the last 4 weeks and at the weekend that's just been. And just give you highlights basically. So we started off by looking at the word awaken. And when God spoke to me about this word, he was saying to me personally that actually to be awake is a state, you know, that's a state of mind. To be awakened is an action and it's a process and it's something that physically happens. Yeah, it is an action that God does. It's a movement. He is physically waking you up and awakening you. Okay, to be awake, you know, you can come to any meeting, to any church service, you can go anywhere and say, yeah, I'm awake. But you know, when people are like, yeah, I'm kind of awake, but I'm not really here, you know, there's a, oh, I'm still sleepy inside. But actually, to be spiritually awakened is to be physically moved, to be stirred, for something to be bubbling inside of you. For you to be awakened is an actual action. It's a movement. It's not just a state of mind. So this is what we first looked at. And the way God's very, very kind and gracious to me and loving. So he speaks to me in very peculiar ways sometimes. But the way he likened it to me was that of a sleeper agent. You know, in movies, the particular movie that came to me was, I don't know if you've seen it, a movie called Salt. It's got Angelina Jolie and it's quite action-packed. Or, for example, like some of the Bourne films, the Bourne Identity and things like that. What he was saying was, you know, Christians are like sleeper agents. And he was saying, Jem, you know, I know it's funny, but just bear with me, it comes good at the end. But he was saying, you know, Jem, when you gave your life to Jesus, you know, you were, and you became a new creation, And because you were in me, I came to live at home in you, and I came to dwell in you. And so you had all the goods inside of you. But now I've triggered you, I've awakened you, and, you know, all those goods that were inside of you, like, are now waking up. Yeah, there was something that he has triggered me, and I'm now absolutely awakened, spiritually alert, constantly saying, oh, and my focus is on his mission alone, yeah? I'm not like, oh, well, I'm half here, I'm half there, you know, I'm not thinking about other things. My focus can now entirely be on his mission, because he's awakened me. There was a trigger that has gone off for me. And he was saying, Jem, you and your guys, you're to encourage them in that, and you're to go and trigger other Christians. You're to go and set those trigger points off so they are awakened. They are awakened spiritually. They are constantly alert to my spirit, and they are awakened. And so this is the way God has likened it to me. So those are sleeper agents, okay? So now when we, and I am talking about church people at the minute, okay? I'm talking about how, as Christians, God is awakening us because he's bringing us this word, and we are to awaken other Christians. Yeah? Christians that have been awake. I believe the church has totally been awake, but now it's being moved. Now it's being stirred. Now it's being awakened. Now it's being actioned into their mission. Yeah? When, in these films, for example, this Salt film, Angelina Jolie is, I don't know, she's living a life. I can't remember what she is, whether she's like a police person. Anyway, she's living a life, and, you know, she has a husband and all these things, and it's all great. And then suddenly, this Russian man comes in, and she has to, like, talk to him and interrogate him because she speaks Russian. And he says something. He says a name, and it triggers her. And all of a sudden, she can do these amazing geeky computer things. All of a sudden, you know, she knows how to defend herself and use guns and make bombs and stuff. Do you know what I mean? All of a sudden, all these skills come into use, and it's because it's been triggered, and she's been awakened to her mission, and now her focus for the rest of the film is totally on her mission, which is actually not great. It's to kill the president, I think, something like that. You know, but her focus is now on this. Do you know what I mean? And God has awakened us, and now our focus is his gospel. Yeah. Our focus is to bring the gospel, and the gospel is practical. Yeah. The gospel is active. The gospel is moving. You know, we actually have to be active. We cannot sit on our butts and say, okay, God, when, you know, you want to give me this sign, I'm going to do something. When you want to do this, I'm going to do this. Well, you know, it is active constantly. Jesus traveled and traveled and traveled. People gathered. You know, he didn't, yes, he went away and had his quiet times. He was active in meeting with God, though. He was active in it. He was constantly active. The gospel is active, and we need to be active. Whew, I'm working up quite a thing here. Slow down. So, yes, that was the awaken message that God brought into my life and I shared with these guys. Yeah? To be, we're alike sleeper agents. Yeah, and everything that God put in us when we were born again and we became new creations, and now is now awakening, is now coming into place. You know, the fruits of the Spirit are happening. You know, people are being released in giftings, in ministries. You know, the boldness is coming to just go and pray for people. Things are happening because they're being awakened. Okay, so God has taken us through, after we looked at awakening, He's taken us for the last few weeks through certain, what I think are quite key principles and teachings in the Bible. One of which was humility, one was repentance, one was love, and one was hope. And these are things that we've studied week after week. And actually, guys, I had a revelation in the middle of the night when Jesus woke me up. And I'm going to share that with you now. You know, I said that at the weekend, that these topics were things that I thought Jesus was talking to me about because we were to, like, understand them and kind of correct them in our lives, and then we could be awakened and go off. But no. Jesus has brought these topics and highlighted them for our teaching because actually he's awakened us to now live in these and to now be full and to be living correctly in them and to be understanding them and to have the revelation. So actually, when I've talked to you guys about humility, you know, we are to live in that. When I've talked to you about repentance, we are to be quick to repent. We are to live in that and to know it. Yeah. When I've talked to you about love, when I've talked to you about hope, those are all those things that we've been talking about, they're to be lived in now. That is how he's awakened us. Okay. So we looked at, oh dear, this is fun. We were looking at, so we started off with humility, okay? Remembering that everything is first and foremost from God, yeah? And the key thing that came out of it, I'm just going to highlight the key things that came out of these things, was to not let our service become acts of slavery, yeah? God, John 15, God calls us a friend. We are a friend to him, yeah? He says that slaves do not know their master's business, yeah? But we are a friend because we know his business, yeah? He shares the will of the Father is shared with us. He reveals things to us. We are his friends. Yeah? And so that's what we are to live in, okay? And our acts of service. My word, we should be so excited to serve our kingdom, to serve God's kingdom, to serve him. We should be so excited to serve him. And it shouldn't be a complacent thing that, oh, I've got to come, and oh, you know, we do feel like a bit of a slave. Oh, God asked me to do this every Sunday, so I'm going to do this. You know, these are... This is a service to the kingdom of God. This is something to almost take, not in an arrogant way, but almost to take pride in, you know, to be boastful in Jesus. I'm serving my king. I'm serving the kingdom of God. Yeah? It's something to boast in the Lord about and be happy about and be excited about because we're serving in him. Cool. So that was our main point from there. I'm doing this very quickly. I have no idea what the time is, so... I'm sure I'll be frowned upon when I get... Oh, we've got loads of time. Fantastic. Repentance. Now, this is a tough one, and it hits hard. So, thank you, Jesus, that everyone's heart is open, and we're prepared to receive your word. We did dare to dive into Revelation 3, where Pastor Paul has been going and is still going to, I'm sure, for the last few weeks. But, you know, we dived into that and was like, come on, we need to look at these things. So I'm just trying to find it. And we didn't do it lightly because it's the truth. It's black and white in my head. This is the word of God and there's no need to water it down. It is the truth. And we need to be honest and we need to be truthful about it because that is what will awaken the church. Amen. If we're truthful about this stuff, you know, we had a forum on heaven and hell at the weekend. And oh my word, did it awaken some of us. Oh my word, did it almost... It gave an urgency in us. That's good. To be pulling people out of the line of hell. It gave an urgency in us to be like, I don't want to see my friends go to that lake of fire. Yeah. There was an urgency, a passion, almost a righteous frustration burning in us. To say, oh my word, have we got to get hold of this? And oh my word, have we got to awaken the church? And oh my word, it's when the church is awakened, the rest falls into place. The fruit comes, the salvation comes, the healing comes. It's when we're awakened and we understand actually our responsibility to the gospel, our responsibility to be practical in the gospel and to take it out. And to talk to people, and to love people, and to be compassionate to people. You know, this is our responsibility. God didn't write this for the fun of it. He wrote this with conditions. He wrote this with warnings. And these things which we read about were not nice, and they will happen if we don't live in his kingdom. So, following on from that nice, happy note, repentance. We were looking at how important it is to put the gospel into practice and stop being influenced by the world. That has to happen now. As a church, we are being awakened. As a young generation, we are being awakened. And we cannot allow to be influenced by the world any longer. We have to say no. We have to be stronger. We have to be remaining in God so that he remains in us and gives us the strength, the love, to say, I'm not being influenced by that. I'm no longer compromising in this area of my life. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to be awakened. And I'm going to be very, very quick to repent if I do slide. Good. So, the main scripture in this one was verse 2, where it says, "Wake up and strengthen what remains, but which also is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of my God." Yeah? We know from James that faith that is not accompanied by actions is dead. Yeah? We know that we cannot just talk the talk. We actually have to do stuff. Yeah? We know that because we're being awakened, which is an action, we have to be active and we have to do stuff. Yeah? The gospel is active. But if anything today, please, please get that. The gospel is active. Yeah? Cool. So, this is really quite funny. We're being awakened. And it's so important to be quick to repent. If things go wrong, sort it out really quickly. Don't live in denial. Don't live in the, oh, well, no one else saw that. It's okay. Yeah. You know, that hinders you. That hinders other people. Yeah. You know, if someone, you know, students, you know this, I said it at the weekend, you know, out of our group, out of our generation on a Monday night, out of our group, if one person comes on a Monday night and if one person in that room is living in sin, it hinders the whole group. Yeah, that's right. The whole group is hindered and we will not move forward as a unit, as a unity. We will not continue and grow in God. We need to be living in a unit. We need to be living in that fellowship. We need to, you know, we need to be one in that. And if one of us just can't be bothered to say, man, God, I've got this wrong, I'm sorry, I'm turning away from that and I'm going in the opposite direction. If we cannot be bothered to do that, then we're not going to get very far. Yeah? We've got to be quick, mighty quick to repent and just be living and remaining in Him. Yeah? John's always a good one to look at. Everything's in John. It is, Pastor Collins, let's say. You know, he says, you know, remain in me and I will remain in you. If you're failing to repent because something's wrong, you're not remaining in Him. Therefore, you're missing out on the blessings that God has for you. You're missing out on the abundance that He can give you, missing out on living life and life to the full, because if you remain in Him, He will remain in you, but you have to remain first. You have to stay in Him first. He doesn't say, I will remain in you, and you just remain in me when you feel like it. You know, He says, you remain in me, and then I will remain in you. We have to be active in that. We have to do that first. Cool. Then we spoke about love, which you would think would be a really nice thing now, but actually, it just gets harder. As a generation, we need to stop believing the world's view that God's love is unconditional. That's a dramatic pause, because I'm sure there's an in the room somewhere. God puts conditions in His word. You know, straight away, what we've just looked at, remain in me and I'll remain in you. That's a condition straight away. He will only remain in you if you remain in Him first. You know, His greatest commandment, it's a command, not a, if you feel like it, is to love your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, all of your strength. That's a commandment. Yeah? And His second commandment is to love one another. You know, these are commandments. And there are conditions as well. His love, we have to live with the mentality that actually God's love is conditional. And there are conditions we are to follow. I'm waiting for someone to throw something at me. There are conditions. So many times God says, I will do this if You know, even when it comes to prayer, what does he say? He says, ask. He says, seek. He says, not. You know, you have to be active. You have to do things. And I think this is what God is trying to say to us. We just have to be active. We can't sit around and wait for things to fall into place and wait for things to happen. He's awakening us, which is an action. Yeah? Let's look at some scripture. That's always a good thing to do. It says, let's go for this one. So in the same way, because God loved the people of the world, this is John 3, by the way, he gave his one and only son so that whoever believes in him shall not die eternally but have God's gift of eternal life. He did that. God gave the biggest sacrifice. You know, Jesus was so obedient unto death, yeah, for us. But the condition is that we have to believe, yeah? There is a condition, and we have to believe. Okay? Following on, John 10, it says, my Father loves me because I am ready to die for the sheep, only then to be restored to life. My Father loves me because, yeah? Because I'm ready to sacrifice. So I'm ready to give up things, even if it's inconvenient. It says, John 14, the evidence that you love me will be seen in the way you obey what I command you to do. Yeah? If we're going to take this gospel out and be practical, the evidence is our obedience, yeah? The evidence that people are going to see is our obedience. Okay. John 14. Jesus answered, if anyone genuinely loves me, he will put my teaching into practice. My Father will love him, and both he and I will come and live with him. Yeah? If you sincerely, genuinely love God, and you put his teaching into practice, he'll come, and he'll remain in you. Yeah? There are, you know, when you say conditions, it sounds really harsh, but there are actions we have to do. There are things we have to put into place. There are things we actively have to do. And then we get God's response. And it's not out of a, oh, I must do this. It's out of, oh my word, there is such a love in me for my Father. I am willing to be active. I am willing to give up my day. I am willing to worship him. I am willing to serve. I am willing to make the teas and coffees. I am willing to do things. I'm willing to go and pray for someone. I'm willing to give an hour to this person because they just want to talk. You know, these conditions, you know, it says in 2 Corinthians 5 that love compels us into action, you know. So although I'm talking about conditions and it may sound harsh, if it's out of love, if we truly know and believe we are loved by God and we truly have a revelation that we are loved, his love and the love, the passion we have for him compels us to be active. It compels us to take the gospel out. It compels us to pray for people. It compels us to serve one another. It compels us to love one another. Yeah? Love provokes action within us. It's his love that drives us. It's his love that motivates us. And I believe what I said earlier today, you know, his love is the key. And if we know and we know and we know that our Father actually really loves us, and, you know, his and we know and we experience that his love will never falter, his love will never disappoint, then, oh my word, we would never be in fear, we would never be intimidated, we would never hesitate in doing anything because we knew everything would be possible. We would know that our God would always come through. If we have a passion and a willingness and a sincerity in our heart that says, oh my word, I love my God, you know, he is not going to let you down when you have the guts and the courage to go and pray for someone and lay hands on them. He's not going to stand there and be like, you know, I won't heal them this time. He is going to heal them because he's like, man, I'm excited. They're bothered to pray and ask. So I'm going to heal them. Of course I am. The same if we pray for a situation or we're asking for provision in a situation or whatever it is. God is not going to let us down. He is going to fulfill his promise. Yeah? Love provokes action in us to do stuff, to do the gospel, to take the gospel, to heal people, to talk to people, to teach people, to, you know, bring people through deliverance, to bring people through salvation. Yeah? His love provokes action. And we just need to believe, which is where the hope comes in. We need to believe. We need to decide to believe. Make a conscious decision right now. I'm going to believe the truth. I'm going to believe the Bible. I'm going to believe every single word. It is not, I do not, you know, for me, it's not something that we need to go and have a quiet moment for an hour and shun die away. It is just that I'm going to believe. It's as simple as that. We need to make a choice. I'm going to believe. I'm going to align myself with the word of God, and I'm going to believe everything it says. Is that simple? Is that simple, Jem? You're just going to believe. Yeah? He says in Matthew, you know, believe and it shall be done. Believe. It's such a small word in a way, isn't it? And it kind of rolls off your tongue and it seems so simple. Just believe. But actually, just believe. You know, let's get that into our revelation, into our heads. We just need to believe the word of God and trust it. Yeah? God says he will never fail. You know, he will never let us down. He will never leave us nor forsake us. If we believe it, it's going to happen. We need to decide to delight. Okay? Decide to delight. Excitement, our passion, attracts the favor of heaven. Yeah. If we are passionate about stuff, or if we are passionate about saving souls, if we are passionate about going out and seeing people healed, if we are passionate about seeing the blind see, let's get this right, if we are passionate about seeing the deaf hear, and we are passionate about seeing the lame walk, I really had to think then. You know, if we are passionate about these things, the favour of heaven is going to follow us wherever we go and accomplish it for us. If we go with excitement, if we go with passion, if we go out with love in our hearts that is completely of God, and we go with his love, and we have that excitement, heaven is going to, it's going to follow us everywhere and be like, you know, it's going to be like little beams, you know, like the, what is the geeky, the Star Trek or Star Wars, one of them, you know, there's a beam and they beam them up, you know, it's, that's what I see. You know, like a big beam coming down and it being done. And then we'll go somewhere else and it'll follow us and it'll be done. You know, this is how I see it. This might seem really simple and really silly, but this is what I see in my head. And this is how God shows me stuff. And you know, if something is needed, if like an arm or whatever, it'll be in it, you'll see it grow. And like the light will disappear there, it'll be. You know, this is how I see stuff happening. The excitement, the passion. Yeah, is what we need. Amen. Amen. And it attracts the favor of heaven. Yes. You know, yes. Excitement and passion attracts people. Yes. So win-win. You know, you attract heaven and you attract people. Come on, we need some excitement and some passion. And then you attract everything. You know, people come to that. People come to places that aren't dead. People come to places that are active. People come to places where there is love and stuff going on. People don't want to come to a place that is dead and boring. I would not be here if church was boring. I would have said no. And I totally believe that. I would have said no. Church is not boring. The gospel is not boring. I seriously would have told Jesus where to go if the gospel was boring. Because it's boring. People don't want that, but if people would see the excitement, if we would express the excitement and demonstrate the passion on the outside of us, people would see that it is awesome. And it is something to live in. It is something to get excited about. You know, you don't want everyone sitting there on the outside just being like, you know, Some people say, oh, I'm dancing on the inside. Dance on the outside. It's that simple. Okay? Just dance. Show some emotion. Show some passion. Don't be so English. Like, just let it out. It says, from within, rivers of flowing water will come out. That is an active movement. Oh, yeah, yeah. That is something coming out. That is a living thing coming out.
That's right.
That is not where we can just be boring.
That's good.
I apologize. I hope they come back. And we need to decide to stick it out. Okay? We need to decide again, consciously, to stick it out. Not every day is easy. I am happy to admit that. But you know what? We cannot be an awakened church that actually walks into a room and takes their bad mood with them. You know, if you are in a grump, guys, if you are in a grump, get rid of it before you come to my house on a Monday. I don't want to see it. You know? If you are grumpy, get rid of it before you walk in this building on a Sunday morning. You know, do not bring it with you. Yes, if there are serious issues, of course, talk to someone. They will uphold you. They will pray things through with you. But don't bring your bad moods with you. Yeah? Decide to stick it out in faith. You know? If you've decided to believe already, then of course you're going to stick it out. Because perseverance is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
It really is. And we need to look at it as a wonderful thing. You know, God is not a builder. Oh, no, sorry. God is a builder. Oh, my word. Bad moment there. God is a builder. He is not a gambler. Okay? God looks at the big picture. He is the Alpha, the Omega. He sees the beginning from the end. He looks at the big, big picture. We need to sometimes look at the big picture. Yes, live each day to the full and live today and do exactly what God wants you to do today. But do not be discouraged.
Amen.
When you speak to someone, you know, in your day because you feel God's prompted you to do that and they just walk away. Do not be discouraged when things like that happen.
That's right.
Because seeds are sown, things are planted, and you might not see the fruit.
Right.
You might not even hear of the fruit. But God sees the big picture. And, you know, he prompted you to talk to that person or to smile at them, to make them a cup of tea, to do whatever, because there's a much bigger picture involved.
Hallelujah.
And we need to look further ahead than our toes.
That is very good.
You know, he does not gamble on today. He builds for the future. He builds for tomorrow. He builds for the next year, for the next month.
Excellent.
And that's what we need to have a vision of that as well. We need to look ahead.
Amen.
Okay?
Hallelujah.
Good. We've got a few hallelujahs, so we're all done. Well done. Jesus, thank you. We're all done for the day. You know, excuse me, when I was looking at hope, God was saying we need to create a language of hope. Now we're awakened as a church, as a generation, our language needs to be one of hope. It needs to be one that is constantly moving forward in faith, and not stopping. It needs to be one that is not sitting down and saying, oh, when I see a direct sign from the Lord, I will go in this direction. Or, you know, oh, I'm at a crossroads, so I must stop. And, oh, let's just wait a few months and then we might get a decision of to go left or right. You know, no. A language of hope is to one to always be moving forward, always to be seeing green lights. Always to be going forward. God is big enough to say, whoa, stop, when it is time to stop.
Yeah.
Or, hang on, you turned left and I wanted you to turn right. He is big enough to do that.
Yeah.
So we need to keep going, in faith. We need to keep pushing forward, keep proceeding forward, and keep moving. And not stop. We run a race, as it says, and we need to keep moving forward. In a race, you do not turn around and go backwards. You do not stand still. If you're an athlete, you are fit enough to run your race. You do not stand still halfway through and go, hang on, I need to have a break for a couple of weeks, and then we'll continue. No, no. We are children of God. We are fit enough. We have the teaching in us to keep going forward. and to not stop, but to proceed forward in faith constantly. 1 Peter. Good to stick a scripture in. We've written it down. Let's see what it says. Aha. 1 Peter 3 says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ is to be praised for all he has done for us. He has given us a new birth through the great mercy he has shown us. He has given us a living hope so we can look forward, look to the future with great expectation, because Jesus Christ has been raised triumphantly from the dead. A living hope is something living. It is something active. Shock. It is active. Everything is active. We are to be active. Are we getting this? The gospel is active. Hope is active. Love is active because it provokes a reaction, and it provokes an action in us, and it compels us, which makes us move and do things. Okay? Repentance is an action. Yes? Things are active. This is it. It's a living hope. It is an active thing. It is something active inside of us that has been given to us. Yes? It has been planted in us. When we were new creations, hope was planted in us. And now it's something that wriggles around and bubbles up and I don't know what else inside of us. But it's living in us. And so it needs to come out. And it needs to be demonstrated. It needs to be shown. It is an active thing. It is a living thing. So those were the four topics that we covered. But I believe God has brought those to our attention, that we live in them. You know, God woke me up in the middle of the night and said, Jem, you got it wrong. These are things to be understanding and to have the revelation of, that actually we're now living them. As awakened Christians, as awakened people, we now live these things out. Yeah. We live out the active things. We live out the gospel as an action. I have no idea what the time is. Oh, wonderful. Did quite well there. So, let's just go through them once more, because I want to, you know, the gospel is active, okay? We have been awakened, you know, as agents, we are now awakened. Our mission is the gospel. And that is what we are to take. Yeah, that is now our focus. That is what... just our mind is completely on, you know, all these gifts that have been given to us, all the, you know, Jesus planted inside of us is now bubbling up and ready to be used and to come out and to be released, because we are agents that have been awakened and are now ready to go to work, basically. Okay? So we are to not let our service become acts of slavery, but we're to be excited, yeah? The passion. We are to be very quick to repent. Very quick. And we need to stop being influenced by the world, but have the strength and the love inside of us to say, you know, the gospel is the way. You know, Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. There is no other path for me, and I will no longer be influenced. Okay. God's love is conditional. There are conditions. It compels us into action. So it provokes an action. It provokes us to obey. It provokes us to serve. Yeah? It makes us do stuff. Excuse me. It makes things happen within us, okay? It carries us through his love. Every single situation. There is nothing that can come against us that will ever separate us from the love of God. There is nothing that can come against us that will drive even a little wedge. You know, God's love is completely there and it cannot be broken. Which, Yeah, it's completely there. We just need to get that revelation that this connection, if we're remaining in him, is always going to be there. It's never going to go away. Yeah? We can walk away from it and not be under it by doing things wrong or by not be bothering to repent or not bothering to, you know, love our God. But if we do those things, we're always going to be under him. Yeah? We're always going to be under the favor of heaven because we are excitable people and we are passionate people. Yeah. And so the favor of heaven is going to be there. And we're going to decide to believe, we're going to decide to delight, and we're going to decide to stick things out. Yeah? So we've got a living hope within us that is moving and needs to be active. Winner. Just to conclude our weekend as a student weekend, I think it would be really cool to have our song one last time. That song we played for the offering wasn't really an offering song, but it's a very exciting song. And it is very much for our generation, being a student generation, that song. You know, it's a song that just ignites stuff within us, just ignites the passion within us. And it's a very good song. So I think it would be good to have it one last time. Cool. So let's all stand up and let's all get excited and show our passion. Woo-hoo! And dance on the outside.
Yes, amen.
I need to move this. Oh, he's there.
Just before we do the anthem, I want to say something about God's unconditional love. Gemma's absolutely right, there are conditions. But they are the access points. Do you know what a stopcock is? Every one of you who lives in a property, there'll be a stopcock in your house, and it's attaches your house to the mains water supply. And this is like what God's love is, except that his supply of love is perfect. The supply of water to your property is as far as you're concerned, without limit. You know, there's huge reservoirs full of water flowing right to your house. And there's water there for every need in your, for every water need in your life, there is water supplied. But if your stopcock is turned off, it doesn't matter how abundant the provision is, your house will be dry. And God's love is unconditional. It's a huge stock, a reservoir that will never run out. Whatever you've done, whoever you are, whatever you're not doing, God's love will never run out. But unless you do the conditions, you also will not experience God's love in your life. So God's love is unconditional. He will never stop loving you. It's there for everyone. But there are conditions to know the love of God in your life. Amen. That was a brilliant preach, wasn't it?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.